Welcome to Family Policy Matters, a production of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. This week, we bring you part two of an inspiring speech by David and Jason Benham, twin entrepreneurs who now live in the Charlotte area and who received national attention after their HGTV television show was canceled because they spoke out on marriage and life issues. This message was delivered at NC Family's Major Speakers Series dinner in Greenville, North Carolina on March 13th.
I was drafted by the Red Sox. He was drafted by the Orioles after our senior season, 1998. We went on to play several seasons in the minor leagues, and our one book, Whatever the Cost, one of the part of the byline is Dying to Your Dreams. We never made it to the big leagues, and we always knew when we left Liberty, God is going to get us to the major leagues. I'm going to hit the game-winning home run in the ninth inning of the World Series. We're going to be in the Hall of Fame. The Lord's going to give us this platform. We're going to glorify the Lord. Well, that never happened, ever. We did not make it. The next thing you know, we find ourselves, we decided to move to Charlotte, North Carolina. We had no idea what we were going to do. I mean, here you are, minor league baseball players with American history degrees, having never really held a real job. What are you going to do? Get your real estate license. I mean, let's just do that. So we got our real estate license, and you know, all we had were the principles of God's Word. Because we didn't have any business training at all. When we got saved at the age of 12, Dad told us, boys, you got to make your theology biography, but you got to have some theology first. Get in the Word of God. So at the age of 12, between 12 to 18, we started reading through the New Testament every year. And we're still on the same Bible reading schedule these days that we were back then. And then at the age of 18, when we went to Liberty, we started reading through the whole Bible. We'll be 42 this year. So we've been doing it every year, rinse and repeat, every single year. So all we had was principles of God's Word. Well, we applied that in the marketplace, and by 2010, we had 100 offices across 35 states. Then Wall Street Journal, Ernst & Young, Inc. Magazine, they're all Franchise 500. They listed us as the 27th fastest growing private franchise in America in 2010. I mean, all this stuff starts happening, and we weren't out ambitiously trying to build our brand. We were just serving people's needs in the marketplace. Well, by 2012, a production company reaches out to us and says, hey, you guys want to be on a reality television show? Now, at first, we were like, no, I don't think so. You know, I don't want to. We're very vocal about our faith. And they're like, oh, no, we looked at the internet. We see your videos. We're paying attention. Will you please just take an interview from us? So the early 2013, we did an interview with these guys, and they said, we're going to put together a sizzle clip. So that's a little 3-minute clip that they took out to Los Angeles. They came back and said, guys, hey, 5 networks want you. Well, TLC made us our first offer. So now we're in 2013. Jason and I, we were at the height of our business career, and TLC had made us a reality television show offer. And in the middle of us negotiating with them, HGTV, the general manager of the network, bypasses our agents, bypasses our production company, and calls my cell phone direct. She said, listen, I'm on vacation. But I just talked to my executive producer, and they said, we lost you guys to TLC. And I, by this time, I'm somewhat of a seasoned businessman. I'm like, well, you haven't actually lost us yet. And she said, would you entertain an offer? And I said, yes, we will. So they shot an offer over to us, and the next thing you know, all summer long in 2013, we're in a bidding war. We actually got on a call with the executive producers of both networks back to back, where they were pitching their networks to us and about all the stuff they were going to do for us and everything else. Well, finally, HG ups their offer, and we said, all right, we'll sign with you guys.
Now, HGTV is a big company. They're not just going to sign a couple jacklegs like us without first doing background checks and doing all these things. And so a few weeks went by, and HGTV, they had the producer call us. David was out of town on business. I remember getting a phone call from our producer, and she said, listen, everybody at HG is beside themselves excited. They're talking about how they're going to make you guys the franchise players on their network. You're going to be in millions of homes. And as the production company, we're so excited too. But the attorneys at HG have one question that they want to ask you. They came across you guys in a video where you supported some amendment. It was Amendment 1 in North Carolina back in 2012. And you guys said something about marriage is only between a man and a woman. And so here's what they want to know. Are you guys anti-gay? That was her question. And you know the first feeling that came over me in that moment? Fear. I wasn't expecting this. I mean, it caught me like a sucker punch. I experienced fear like I hadn't experienced before. I mean, I was literally scared to answer this question, because when she asked that question, are you anti-gay? The first thought that jumped into my mind was, you better be careful how you answer this, because if you don't answer it right, you're going to lose this new platform that you guys are really looking forward to doing some great things with. And so in that moment, I was like, oh boy, I better answer this the right way. But I said a quick snap little prayer, and by God's grace, he gave me something to say. I said, no, we're not anti anything. We're pro-Jesus. And through the course of that conversation, I basically explained to her that God's blessings are found within God's boundaries. And if we remove those boundaries, his blessings are replaced with burdens. And one of his boundaries is marriage between a chick and a dude. You know what she said? You know what her response was? Oh, okay, that's good. Because you know what? A lot of us at HG, your production company, and even your agents, we kind of believe like you guys do. We just don't really talk about it much. That's what she said. And so I hung up the phone. I wiped my forehead. I'm like, God, you are good. Man, you gave me something awesome to say, and I was able to save the show and still stand for my faith, right? Well, 2 weeks went by, and we didn't get a phone call, text, tweet, nothing. Email from HG, our production company, or our agents. And up until this point, they had been communicating with us almost every single day. And I thought we were getting dumped. David said, dude, I feel the exact same way. We got down on our knees and we began to pray. And you know what our prayer was? God, please save the show. Please save the show. Please save the show. And you know what? We stood up and both of us in our spirits said, we really feel like God wants us to write a letter to HGTV, send an email to HGTV. Just kind of, you know, trying to save our show. And so David wrote this email, sent it to me, and said, what do you think? And I read it, and I was like, this is great, man. It was three paragraphs long. And you know what it said? Here's what it said. HGTV, these are our beliefs, and we're never going to back down from them. However, when we're on your show, and when we represent your network, wherever we go, we're going to be quiet about it. He wrote it.
But you told me to write it.
I approved it. And both of us were doing it for the Lord. And both of us felt like God had given us this email. Do you know what had happened? In that moment, David and I both began to focus on that platform that we didn't want to lose. And we took our focus off of the person who put it there in the first place. And you know what happens when you take your focus off of the person who put that promise or that platform or that purpose or that provision? The minute you take your focus off of the person, you begin to operate strategically in the mind and no longer spiritually in the heart. And you can't see anymore, and you're doing it all for the Lord, all for God's glory. And here I am, a pastor who can't talk about an issue because I don't want to lose my congregation. Well, the very thing that you won't let go of, that's the thing that's enslaving you. And that's the thing God is saying, Pastor, you let go of your congregation. You stand up there and you deal with that cultural hot topic. You do that and you let it go and you be bold for me. But David and I, we failed in that moment. I'm telling you. Well, we decided we weren't going to send it to HGTV. We were going to send it to a spiritual mentor of ours first. So we sent it to this pastor friend of ours. And you know what? Within about 90 seconds, he sent an email back and said, how dare you boys write an email like this? This isn't who you are. How do you know that God hasn't put you in this situation to tear down a stronghold that is ransacking this nation? You know what we did? We got down on our knees and we repented. We cried out to the Lord in the same way that Peter went out when he heard that rooster crowing. And he went out and he wept many bitter tears. David and I realized from that moment that we were operating out of a man-pleasing spirit. And we were doing it all for the Lord. And what we realized then was that boldness apart from brokenness makes a bully. We had no clue that several months later we were going to get fired and we had to stand boldly for the Lord. But you know what God had to do first before we stood boldly? He had to break us. He had to show us who we were, that deep down, we were nothing more than cowards. And we discovered that the secret to courage is first recognizing your inner coward and then allowing the Holy Spirit to unleash your inner lion.
So the fear of man and a man-pleasing spirit was all over us. And God was telling us to fear him. Well, after that two-week period, now we look back, we know what God was doing. All of a sudden, HG calls us out of the blue, again, bypassing the agents and everybody, and said, are you signing with us or what? So we signed with HG. They call the show Flip It Forward. It was about Jason and I were helping families. We're 4 weeks in 2014. They're running commercials. And then they call us. Say, guys, we got good news. We just announced your names at the upfronts in New York City. And these are upfronts. These are big sales shows when they bring in all their advertisers and endorsers. And the focus groups, everything. This is going to be a big show. This is great. You got endorsers. You have Disney World. Others are calling saying they want to be a part of the show. This is all good news. And we said, okay, good. And they said, and one other group called us, GLAAD. And they said, well, they're not really happy that we're giving you guys a platform, but don't worry, we've got this all under control. So the next week, Jason and I are still filming. Now we're 5 weeks in. We get a phone call, 9 o'clock at night, from one of the top executives at the network. And they said, listen, we've been back and forth with GLAAD all week long. And so we're just going to go ahead and let you guys know, relax, everything's under control. We're not going to put anything in writing to them, but we are going to call them when we get off the phone with you and let them know we're sticking with you. We're not letting you go. You're going to be stars on the network. That was the last words we heard from HG. Hung the phone up. Next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, our phones are vibrating off the hook from friends across the country saying, did you see HGTV's Facebook page? Now, I had never even been on HGTV's Facebook page. So what had happened, you go on their Facebook page, and at about 3 o'clock in the morning, the night after that phone call, there's a sentence that says, we are reviewing the Benham Brothers show. And underneath that, thousands of comments, things that I would never repeat in public. They said things about our daughters. They said things about us. They said things about our wives. I'm like, what on earth? This is awful. What happened? Well, GLAAD is partners with Right Wing Watch. When GLAAD doesn't get what they want, they tap Right Wing Watch on the shoulder to provide a new narrative. And they take the Right Wing Watch article as true journalism and they circulate it to the AP. They'll give it to CNN. I mean, they'll give it to everybody. And they start circulating this and they mobilize their base. So Jason and I, we report, we had a 9 a.m. call time and we report and we're there, we're getting mic'd up and both of us are like, what on earth's gonna happen? We didn't know what was going on. And so then at 11 a.m., HGTV texts my phone and said, hey, you guys got time for a conference call? So we said, yeah, sure. Now, we didn't know what this conference call was going to be about. We had no idea how many executives would be on. We didn't know. We just knew they've spent millions of dollars. The show's a big show. We were told the night before we're going to be stars and everything's great. Now, all of a sudden, there's this little hiccup. So just before we took the call, we got alone. We found a place by ourselves. We both got down on our knees and we said, Lord Jesus, when we surrendered to you, we said whatever the cost. So give us the grace, whatever this call is going to be. We make a phone call, first words out of the mouth of the highest executive, the director of the home division. Boys, we're canceling the show. First words came to my mind. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you for believing in us. So then I said, you know what? You believed in us, but you got bullied. You got bullied into this. One of the executives, not on this call, but a couple of calls earlier, had said, we have to pander to groups like this. And we said, no, you don't have to pander to groups like this. But we said, you got bullied into this. And what's happening right now is this radical, secular, leftist agenda is demanding silence. And that's why we love being a part of the Family Policy Council, the NC Family Policy Council, because they're willing to step out. They're willing to speak the faith. Their vision statement, their mission statement, is all about this great faith. It's all about standing boldly for the values that God gives us. And so that's why we want to encourage you to get involved. They need friends, they need funds. But more than any of that, you go home tonight, dive into this word, get on your knees, commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ for as long as you have breath. Let's stand boldly in North Carolina in the name of Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to part two of a message from David and Jason Benham, delivered at the NC Family's Major Speakers Series Dinner in Greenville, North Carolina. You can hear part one on our website at ncfamily.org. You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.